From Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 14, the pregnancy of Diti in the evening, text number one. Shri Shukru Bhaccha Nishamya Kosharavindho Pavar Nitham
Nishamya.
Shukadeva Goswami said, after hearing from the great sage Maitreya about the Lord's incarnation as Varaha, Budura, who had taken a vow, begged him with folded hands to please narrate further transcendental activities of the Lord, since he, Budura, did not yet feel satisfied. The second verse is as well. Vidura uvacha taneva. That's okay. Taneva tu muni shresa harina yagyamurtina adidecho hiran yaksho hatta ityanu sushruma. Sri Vidura said, O chief amongst the great sages, I have heard by disciplic succession that Hiranyaksha, the original demon, was slain by the same form of sacrifices the personality of Godhead, Lord, bore. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As referred to previously, the boar incarnation was manifested in two millenniums, namely the Svayambhuva and Chakshusha. In both millenniums, there was a boar incarnation of the Lord. But in the Svayambhuva millennium, he lifted the earth from within the water of the universe, whereas in the Chakshusha millennium, he killed the first demon, Hiranyaksha. In the Svayambhuva millennium, he assumed the colour white, and in the Chakshusha millennium, he assumed the colour red. Vidura had already heard about one of them, and he proposed to hear about the other. The two different boar incarnations described are the one Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Vidura has heard from Maitreya about the Lord's incarnation as Varaha, and now he wants to hear more because he's not yet feeling satisfied that he's heard enough. And he particularly, in this, here he's asking in order to get Maitreya to speak more. He has heard about Hiranyaksha, the original demon, who was slain by the same form of sacrifices the personality of Godhead Lord bore. So text number three, so his question is, Tasya chodarata shonim shva damstragrina lilaya taicha rajasya cha brahman kajmad deto abun mrida. So text number three says, what was the reason, O Brahmana, for the fight between the demon king and Lord Boar while the Lord was lifting the earth as his pastime? So that's his question in order to hear more. So we'll discuss those three verses with the one purport. So this has been discussed previously in the previous chapter, chapter 13, and there in the purport it describes how there are two appearances of Lord Varaha. And we have a look at that. So in the 13th chapter, And this was touched upon by Maitreya. So in chapter 13, text number 32, Maitreya was describing, "Thereupon the boar killed the demon within the water, just as a lion kills an elephant. The cheeks and tongue of the Lord became smeared with the blood of the demon, just as an elephant becomes reddish from digging the purple earth." And chapter 13, text number 33. "Then the Lord, playing like an elephant, suspended the earth on the edge of his curved white tusks. He assumed a bluish complexion like that of a tamal tree, and thus the sages, headed by Brahma, could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offered respectful obeisances unto the Lord." And so, in that section there, and there's a... so there was an explanation there, and especially there's a more detailed explanation by Vishwanath Chakravarti, the core. And this is, you can see this, so it's just, it's understood that the two appearances of the Lord were discussed in the previous chapter, and the two stories were somewhat amalgamated. The appearance of the Lord Varaha, who appeared in the Svayambhuva Manu, whose colour was whitish, and then in the Chakshusha Manu, Varaha also appeared and lifted the earth, but in that appearance, he was reddish, and he killed the demon Hiranyaksha. So he's touched upon both, although they're both separate incidents in different millenniums. In chapter 13, that was sort of explained as in one explanation, and in unveiling his lotus feet, Burijan Prabhu gives this little description. He says, "Varaha Dev's appearance will be described in the 13th chapter of the third canto. The killing of Hiranyaksha will be described later in the third canto, chapters 18 and 19. They're described in more detail. So, and then he quotes from Sridhar Swami discusses Varaha Dev's birth in his commentary on 3.11.35. "Lord Varaha appeared in the first Manvantara when the earth was plunged in the water. At that time, Varaha, born from the demigod Brahma's nostril, rescued the earth and fought with Hiranyaksha." That is one description of Varaha. It's an important there. There's one description. Appears to be one description of two appearances of Varaha. But that Varaha from the Svayambhuva Manu appeared from Brahma's nostril. Then Sridhar goes on to say, "Lord Varaha also appeared during the sixth Manvantara," that's the Chakshusha. "At that time he was born from Diti, the daughter of Prajapati Daksha. Because in both appearances Lord Varaha rescued the earth when it was plunged in water, the two appearances are described in a single narration." So there's two appearances. Varaha appears in the Svayambhuva Manu, appearing from Brahma's nostril, and he appears in the Chakshusha Manu as the he appears from the Chakshusha Manu. But at that time he was born from Diti, the daughter of Prajapati Daksha. So now, There is a further explanation of that. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Pakor, in his commentary on chapter 13, text number 33, he gives quite an elaborate commentary there. And there he explains that Hiranyaksha, he was also born, he was coming in the line of Hiranyaksha was born through Daksha, who was the son of the Prachetas during the reign of Chakshusha Manu. It's an interesting statement, because we know that Daksha is the son of Brahma. Also, Daksha appears as the son of the Prachetas during the reign of Chakshusha Manu. And during that time, Daksha married Prasuti, who was the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu. Okay. And Daksha and Prasuti gave birth to Diti. 16 daughters, 13 of who married Kashyapa. One of them was Diti. And from Diti and Kashyapa came Hiranyaksha. And this is what is described in this 14th chapter, the pregnancy of Diti in the Eden. Hiranyaksha was born. And Vishwanath Chakravarti is explaining that Varaha couldn't have killed Hiranyaksha in the Svayambhuva Manu, because Hiranyaksha wasn't born until the Chakshusha Manu as the child of Kashyapa and Diti, which is being explained here. That would take me a little bit, you know, like that. So, anyway, so there are two appearances. But Prabhupada mentions in his purport, the two different born incarnations described are the one supreme personality of Godhead. Here in this chapter, Vidura wants to know more about Varaha in the Chakshusha Manu, who killed Hiranyaksha. And in order to tell that story, Maitreya goes right back to the birth of Hiranyaksha, and therefore which precipitated the second appearance. So just the background information. So, but still, we understand that those, there are many forms of the Lord, but they are the one supreme personality of Godhead. And as we see, sometimes even various great demigods appear at different times, although they're one personality, like Durga Devi. She appears, as Himavati, and she was the daughter of Daksha, and she gave up, that was Sati, she gave up her body and then took birth again as the daughter of the Himalayas. Yeah. What was her name?
Parvati.
So one person, even the demigods do that, one person, but they appear in different ways. I know quite often when I do different home programs and people worship different forms of Durga, and I explain that Durga Devi appeared as the sister of Krishna. And Kamsa wanted to kill her. Yeah? You know that story? Not, not like this. So Durga Devi, she appeared as a sister, and Kamsa wanted to kill her, and he tried to smash her, you know, on the stone, and she flew up into the air. Yeah? What's that?
Seventh daughter, I
So, usually a lot of Indian people worship some form of Durga. But they, you know, when I try and connect Durga back to Krishna, which is what devotees do, they always try and bring everything back to Krishna. They think that, no, this is a different person. So they don't understand that that one Durga Devi appears in different places with different names and different forms, as mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that, you know, in the 10th canto, after Durga Devi, disappeared, she appeared in many places under different names, and she's worshipped, you know, to this very day. Kachiyani and this one and that one, and Vika and so many things. But it's the same Durga, you know. Similarly, Krishna, he is the same personality of Godhead, although he appears in many different forms. And that is also not quite understood. What to speak of, you know, they generally find it difficult to understand even how some of the demigods like Durga, one person, are appearing in different millenniums for different purposes. More difficult to understand how, the various incarnations of the Lord are the one Supreme Personality of Godhead. They feel that there are many gods. Like that. But Prabhupada mentions here that, you know, this two different boar incarnations described are the one Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, you know, we sing that song. Prabhupada quotes it in one of his lectures. Who knows that song I'm about to sing? What's the famous song we sing? To show that many incarnations, but it's the one Lord. Keshava Dvita, yeah. I'm just trying to find it. Yeah, get my notes here. So there's one verse there. Srila Prabhupada about Lord Varaha. Who knows that off by heart? Is it Keshava Dvita? Yeah, here, I found it here. I haven't got the Sanskrit. It says, Srila Jayadeva Goswami, the great Vaishnava poet, sang as follows: O Keshava, O Supreme Lord, who have assumed the form of a boar, O Lord, the planet Earth rested on your tusks, and it appeared like the moon engraved with spots. So, when we see any of the incarnations of the Lord, we see them as one of the different forms of Krishna. You know, we see the one person, one Lord, Krishna. They're all Krishna. As sometimes people ask, you know, when you have various shalagrams, you know, because we're supposed to be Krishna devotees, and yet we see devotees have shalagrams of Varaha and Korma, and I'm thinking, you know, but you know, we're Krishna bhakti, and you're worshipping a, you know, Varaha shalagram like that. What's happening there? But a devotee sees all the shalagrams as Krishna. Even though they worship that Lord as Varaha or Korma, but from these different personalities like Lord Varaha, although they're Krishna, they're manifesting a certain aspect of Krishna's qualities, and the way he deals with his devotees. So, you know, it is highlighted. So therefore, although they're meditating upon Krishna, that particular incarnation may highlight a particular aspect of how a devotee feels being under the shelter of Krishna. So just like Varaha, Prabhupada, in one lecture, he describes that. So he says here, so the universe was filled up with water. Now, of course, in this section, why is the earth, in this Chakshusha Manu period, where Hiranyaksha was killed, why is the earth in the water? Hiranyaksha, yeah, the demons, they, Hiranyaksha, they actually, made it fall into the water, into the Gavadaka Ocean. As mentioned in Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text number 7, describes there. And because also in Canto 2, Chapter 7, Text number 1, they wanted the gold. You know, demons love to mine gold and mine the precious minerals and that, or the oil, anything, and they don't care about the what it does to the earth. It actually affects the balance of the earth. You know, astrologically we know that you know, there is a sort of a standard point from where everything starts in the universe, but over time, sometimes things go slightly out of tilt. Right? So we learn. So, for instance, you know, the various equinoxes of the planet coming out into the you know, celestial sphere. They line up at certain points. The equinoxes and the solstices line up with the first point of Aries and the zodiac and what have you, but over time it shifts to a different point like that, and that, of course, that slight change affects all the weather and, you know, the perfect balance of the, you know, so therefore in different yugas you'll get much better conditions, and then it gradually changes in Kali Yuga because of the slight shift. You know, it actually affects the earth. And here there was such a dramatic shift because the air, the planets are described to be floating in space. And Prabhupada says, in a lecture, he says that, you know, these planets, they're hundreds and thousands of times bigger than this earth, you know, even the sun, but they're floating in outer space. And he says, this support is Ananta, Sankarshan. They say the law of gravitation. The Prabhupada refutes that. The scientists say they're all floating there by gravity, but as devotees, we take from Bhagavatam, that's not a fact. They're floating in space, and what keeps them, you know, floating in space is actually the energy of Sankarshan or Ananta Sosha. And Ananta Sosha is actually at the bottom of the universe, and he is all the planets of the universe are resting on his hoods, and he hardly even notices at that. So we say, so they're actually floating. They're and we were reading in Bhaktivedanta that you know, this appears to be something. Oh, how can, you know, huge planets float in space? They're so, you know, billions and billions and billions and billions of tons of rock and stone. But the Bhagavatam gives the example that, you know, if you look at some of these rain clouds, there's billions of tons of water just floating in space. You know, the weight of those, if you actually collected up that water, you know, you just, sometimes when just a fraction of it falls on buildings, the roofs cave in because of the weight. the whole thing come down at once, that water would just crush everything, crush the whole city. Sometimes. So it's just, but it's just floating, you know, even though it weighs so many tons. So these planets, similarly, you know, under the right circumstances, they float. Those circumstances are created by Ananta or Sankarsan. So the demon Hiranyaksha, he, you know, by, you know, they wanted to mine the gold, and in the purport of the, it says here, this first canto, it says, picking up something from a filthy place is done by a boar. And the all-powerful personality of Godhead displayed this wonder to the Asuras, who had hidden the earth in such a filthy place. So it appears that they purposely had created mischief. They had knocked the earth into this, shifted its ballast, and it had fallen into the water. So, Lord Varaha dove into the Karbanaka Ocean, which is, as we know, is about 2 billion miles or something deep, and picked up the earth. Okay. Now, sometimes that's a nice reminder. So although we're seeing Varaha as Krishna, you know, when we're meditating on Krishna, you know, we have our pictures and we see him Radharani and we see him as a cowherd boy. But you can sometimes forget, because of his, you know, human-like pastimes, the immense potency. So sometimes when we meditate upon these incarnations of the Lord, it gives us just a fraction of a hint of his unlimited glory, you know, power, that he picks up the whole earth, puts it back. Such a, you know, massive task for them. And now, Prabhupada uses that in a preaching way. Now, we know that Srila Prabhupada, he left for America to preach. A very, very elderly person. I think he had his 70th birthday on the boat, alone. And his health was very frail. In the first couple of days, I think it was the second day, because the weather got, you know, rainy and windy. Prabhupada was vomiting. He felt very dizzy. He felt very, very ill. And then he had you know, two heart attacks, and he felt that, you know, if another heart attack like that came, he wouldn't survive. You know, he would die. Anyway, he had a dream, and in that dream, Krishna appeared to him. Prabhupada says Krishna appeared in his many forms, rowing a boat. So, you know, I think I saw a picture somewhere. So, you know, there's a Varaha and, you know, Korma. You know, Krishna has many different forms, and they're rowing a boat. And Krishna said to him, so it's the one Krishna, but he has many forms according to the need. And he said to him, don't be afraid. Come along. With that. Come along. And from that point on, the entire oceans became very calm. And the captain of that ship, he said, you know, in his entire career, he had never ever seen the ocean so calm like that. So, you know, in this way, and when Srila Prabhupada got to America, at first, you know, he stepped onto the shores. It docked in Boston for a bit. He got to step on the shores, and then he got to see, you know, the degraded life, you know, everyone enjoying intoxication and, you know, so many different terrible things, sinful activities. And when he got back on the boat, he was thinking, you know, how is it going to be possible that I'm going to ask these people to give up their meat eating and their intoxication and their gambling and their illicit sex and instead, you know, become devotees of Krishna, like that. And Prabhupada felt very, very tiny. You know, in his, he wrote some two songs, and you can see he felt very, very insignificant, very, very tiny. But above that, he felt that Krishna was infinite, unlimited, and therefore he was very confident that somehow or another, you know, if people could associate with Krishna by Krishna's potency, they could actually, you know, give up these, this sinful life and become devotees. And he understood that if they could hear these topics of Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita and, you know, take Krishna Prasad and associate devotees, that because Krishna has unlimited potency, that that would actually purify their hearts. And you know what happened? It actually worked. And that's all the Prabhupada did. He chanted Hare Krishna. He, you know, got people to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, and because he understood Krishna is unlimited. And it's when we hear these pastimes, you know, like Varaha, we can understand. You know, here's Krishna, and in his form as Varaha, he can pick up the earth. You know. So, although it's a very difficult task, sometimes preaching, in this respect here, in relationship to Hiranyaksha, Prabhupada describes that when you are trying to preach Krishna consciousness, he gives a nice example. He says, Prabhupada says, the devotees, they're demigods, and the shuras means just the opposite number of the devotee. That means non-devotees. Those who are non-devotees, those who are not devotees of the Lord, they're all demons. Because we know that he also speaks some innocent. He says, so the demons are always disturbing. They'll create disturbance. Their business is to create disturbance in the creation of the Supreme Lord. That's their business. So he describes how Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, he says, the devotees, their number is very, very small, just like our Krishna consciousness movement. We can count within the finger how many we have got, how many devotees. But demons, non-Krishna conscious, non-devotees, there is no limit, immeasurable. You know, so that's what we're up against. That's what the Krishna consciousness movement is up against. The non-devotees, those who want to cause a disturbance for the Krishna consciousness, they're probably immeasurable. And we're just a tiny little number like that. He says, so when the demons are too much prominent, then Krishna comes. So in the Kali Yuga, he has appeared. So of course he appeared as the holy name, like that. And we understand that the Lord has many forms, and one of his forms is the holy name. And in each of the forms, that Lord is still Krishna, and his potencies are always unlimited. He says, just like previously appeared in the form of a hog, similarly Krishna has appeared in this Kali Yuga in the form of his name. So there is no difference between the form and name of God. God is absolute. So those who are disturbed by the demons may take shelter of this form of God, Hare Krishna. Then you'll be saved. Otherwise, the demon will put you in the Pacific Ocean water, just like this demon. That's an interesting statement. And you know what we see now? Like, I was reading this statement, I was thinking, so many people are now being put into the oceans. We have this refugee crisis. They've literally been pushed out of their country and forced into the oceans. And Prabhupada says here, otherwise the demon will put you within the Pacific water just like this demon. Isn't it? It's the same scenario. The refugees, there's so many, they've been put into the ocean. They're drowning. And they've got no shelter. They go to a country and they end up having to go somewhere else. They've got no shelter anywhere. And this is the work of, you know, demoniac persons. But Krishna will save you, as Prahlad Maharaj was put into the water by his father. So this is not uncommon. You know, even Prahlad. So it says, so to become Krishna conscious means there will be so many enemies, even farther what to speak of others. They will criticize, they will attack. I have recently received a letter from Germany. Our devotees were attacked by a gang. Many such attacks since that letter. So in this way, as soon as you become God conscious, the demons will create disturbance, just like Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucified by the demons. The only fault that he was God conscious. Just see, such innocent person. The world is like that. So these dangers are there, but don't be afraid. Krishna will save you. And tolerate if there are disturbances. Then he gives the another case. He says, you have to chant Hare Krishna mantra against the demons. Isn't it interesting way? The demons are attacking. What is our weapon? Hare Krishna, take that. Hare Rama, and cop that. Like that. Just like in Australia, the demons have, and I think this has happened in Melbourne, just like in Australia, the demons have instituted a case against us. A big case by the city authorities. So they didn't want us to chant on the streets, the street books and things. So what can be done? They wanted to appoint big lawyers, and I have advised, don't appoint lawyers, you go on chanting. They may put you in jail, so you go on chanting. What is that? You chant on the street or you chant on the jail, they're the same thing. So don't be afraid, they'll take you to jail, go on, Hare Krishna. We have got the means. Those who are devotees, they're not afraid of anything. Either they'd be sent to the heavenly planet or in the hell planet, it doesn't matter. We want simply to chant Hare Krishna and remember Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. It doesn't matter whether it is in heaven or in hell. And of course, this mood was perfectly epitomized by Srila Prabhupada, who was willing to leave Vrindavan and travel to what is apparently the hellish regions of the world, and just was satisfied to chant Hare Krishna, and felt very satisfied that by chanting Hare Krishna, he would be protected. So if anyone has any questions or comments. Yeah. Now, the original demon in the universe. So, if we take the perspective that, of course, this pastime is in reference to this, what do they call it? Svetavaraha. The Svetavaraha. Kalpa. So, as far as the acharyas describe, the first day of Lord Brahma and the first day of his life is also called the Svetavaraha Kalpa. And this one, which is the first day of the second half of his life, in the 51st year, is also called the Svetavaraha, in which case Varaha appears. So, but this demon, Hiranyaksha, appeared, Varaha had appeared, And then he was still present, but it appeared in a different form to kill Hiranyaksha. So some acharyas say that he actually, Varaha, stayed in the oceans. You know. So, but this Hiranyaksha, in this day of Brahma, he was the first demon. But you have to get the time span. So for instance, we were talking about Daksha, he's the son of Brahma. Then it's described Daksha appears as coming one of the sons of the Prachetas who are coming in the line of Uttanapada at that. So the sons of Manu and their sons, they live for 71 cycles of the four yugas. Whereas that is their 100 years, basically. Whereas the sons of Brahma, they live for the entire duration of the universe. In one day of Brahma, there are 14 times 71 cycles of the yugas. So one day of Brahma, that's 12 hours. 12 hours of Brahma is 71 cycles of the four yugas. So if someone, one of the demigods from Brahma's time frame, came to this world, 1/14th of one day is less than an hour. So that whole time frame of the Manu is less than an hour for someone who actually appears from Brahma's time frame. So if this is the sixth Mandantara, there's about 5 or 6 hours, from Brahma's day perspective, from the appearance of Varaha in Svayambhuva Manu to his killing Hiranyaksha and the Chakshushu Manu. So, the time frame of Brahma's time frame is about 5 or 6 hours. But so in that first day, anyway, of Brahma, Hiranyaksha is considered the first demon. So it appears like a long time, so many different millenniums, but it's not so long. Yeah, that Varaha was the Sukadeva Goswami had done, or Maitreya Muni had done, is that the Varaha of the Svayambhuva Manu and the Varaha of the Chakshusha Manu, who killed Hiranyaksha, the two stories were somewhat combined. So actually, when Varaha appeared in the Svayambhuva Manu, that appearance of Varaha didn't kill Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha hadn't even been born. Hiranyaksha was born later in the Chakshusha Manu, and then when Varaha appeared in the second appearance, which had a different colour, he wasn't whitish as before, he was now blackish or bluish, he killed. and now this. The Bhagavatam is now describing that, going back to the very birth of Hiranyaksha. Therefore, this chapter is called Pregnancy of Deity in the Evening. So we're going to hear what happened after killing. We're going to hear all of that, what happened.
Hiranyaksha was not killed.
No, he was killed by the Varaha's appearance in the Chakshusha Manu. But it was mentioned in the previous chapter, along with the Varaha of the Svayambhuva Manu. It was mentioned, but now you'll actually hear what happened before, during, and after. So this is goes right through to chapters, what was it, 18, 19, like that. Described. It touches on it here, and then the Bhagavatam goes into some other subject matters, and then it comes back to it. So that's where that question is answered. Any other comments or questions?
Of the Lord, is it like every day of Brahma?
Yeah. That's right. Well, you know, it's an interesting question because the Acharyas say that this day of Brahma is called the Svetavaraha Kalpa because Varaha appears. It distinguishes it from other Kalpas. So, generally, the Leela avatars are also called Kalpa avatars because they appear once in the day of Brahma. But it would appear that some Leela avatars do not necessarily they're not all Kalpa avatars. In other words, not all of them appear in every day of Brahma. So, you know, the Leela avatars generally appear in each day of Brahma, and therefore they're also called Kalpa avatars. But it appears that some of the Leela avatars do not necessarily appear in every day of Brahma, and therefore they're called Leela avatars. Yes, they worship him in his deity form. There, it's not necessarily that he has appeared there in his, but he's worshipped there in his deity form. But his actual appearance for his lila, that is different. Just like we worship Krishna here in his deity form. His appearance, where he manifested his lila, was 5,000 years ago. Although, if you remember that lila, then Krishna is there, right with you. So if you worship the deity, you can actually experience the presence of Krishna and his various lilas in a mood of separation. And that is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And Prabhupada says, that is the perfection of the Krishna consciousness movement. Always be engaged in serving Krishna and always remembering Krishna in separation. many people, and he distinguishes, even in this lecture here I'm quoting, many people come to the temple, they're pious, and they'll pray for something material. But those who are actually take shelter of the disciplic succession, take initiation, become serious followers of the we follow the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis, and Srila Prabhupada, and our aim is not to always be praying to the deity for something, but we always try to love Krishna and serve Krishna, and we always try to think about him and remember him through discussing his pastimes. And by doing that, that is the perfection, that always feeling the presence of Krishna. That's all we want. We want to feel the presence of Krishna, and when Krishna is there, we'll serve him. So if the holy name is there, we'll serve the holy name. We want the presence of Krishna. When the presence of Krishna is there, the holy name, we serve the holy name. Hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is here. There's Krishna is there. We feel his presence. We serve the Bhagavatam by hearing. Asking nice questions like yours. Krishna is not different from his paraphernalia, you know, his form, his fame, his pastimes. And whichever way Krishna appears, the devotee wants to associate with him and serve him like that. And if one does that, Prabhupada says, that is the perfection.